Greetings. Welcome to Confessing the Blues. I'm your host, Jim Ange Anderson. On today's show, we feature rising star, singer, guitar player, songwriter, Ivy Ford. Let's roll! Ivy Ford, welcome to the Farmhouse Studios.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Yeah. Well, you've got a new record out. Can you talk about the record?
Sure, yes. My record, it's called Time to Shine. It's actually titled by the first track on it. And me and the fellas, the band, we recorded it early January, or between Christmas and New Year. And what's kind of special, it's my first all original, all my own material. So that's really exciting. It's a 10-track album, so it's a full thing. Yeah.
And Time to Shine, that's very appropriate because it's your time to...
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Again, yeah, since it's kind of my first rite of passage for real working kind of celebrity type blues artist in the Chicago scene and surrounding areas. Kind of my first step as, like I said, individual and kind of taking my stance and, yeah, letting it be my time to shine, to let people know what I got.
Time to shine, little darling. Don't let no one do you dim. Time to shine, little darling. Don't let no one do you dim. You can be your worst enemy, but your very best friend. So time to shine, little darling. Don't let no one do you dim. Yeah. Shine. Don't let no one do you dim. Time to shine, little shine. Don't let no one do you dim. You can be your worst enemy, but your very best friend. Time to shine, little shine.
Shine.
Don't let no one
written all these songs.
Yes.
And have these, since this is your first record, have mm-hmm. these been written over a period of time?
Oh, yeah. Well, I can tell you the last track on there, it's called Don't Handle Me. And I actually wrote that song, I think I was like 19 or 20, so about 4 or 5 years ago. I had attempted recording it first by myself, actually playing piano and singing. And then I attempted recording it with an older band of mine, and it just never stuck. It just never worked out. So that's one. It's like, it for me, it's an oldie but goodie, and it's taken till now, I think, for it to mature and get a good sound that I like. And then on the flip side, though, Time to Shine, which is ironically the like I said, the album title, that was one I think I literally wrote in an afternoon during the recording process. So we had booked a couple weeks to be in the studio, and I think it was probably like week two or something, and I was like, oh, hey, I'm just hanging out at home, picked up the guitar, and it just all came at once, and it was catchy, and bam, there it was. And I brought it to rehearsal with the fellas, and we said, oh, that's it. one of those things. So,
well, inspiration is funny, because you can work on a song for years and years, mm-hmm. and then sometimes it's like an antenna and the song just shows up, right?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, and from start to finish. And that's when people ask me, okay, so what's your writing process? And they really like overthink it. I said, I don't have one. They said, oh, no, you don't need to be like in your certain room with a particular candle lit at, right. Half past, I said, no, it just happens. And when it happens, it does. When it don't, and sometimes just need to let it rest, and for me too, sometimes the music or the groove of something comes first and then words. Or sometimes I'll think of a really cool phrase and I'm like, oh, that's catchy. That's cheeky. Let me try and figure something else with it. So, yeah.
And that might dictate what the groove is then, once you come up
with the cool title. Yeah. So, I'm very open to a diverse writing process. Okay. So some people aren't always that go with the flow, but I try to be.
I like this title. Give me that guitar.
Oh, yeah.
What's that all about?
It's funny. Actually, that was one I wrote. I wrote the words in high school. I think I was a sophomore in high school, and I didn't really play anything. I was predominantly a singer, and some friends of mine that were musicians and were in a garage band, they wanted to be. There was a Battle of the Bands contest, and they were like, "We know how to play, but we don't know how to write songs," And I said, "Okay, cool." Well, so I just came up with something again, real simple and kind of stupid. I said, "How do you like it?" And it didn't catch on. So I said, "Okay, whatever." And then getting back to, fast forward to this last year and wanting to create my own album, I was looking through my old notebooks and diaries of songs or poems, whatever you want to call them, that I had written, and I saw "Give Me That Guitar." I'm like, "Oh man, there's some real cool words in there."
Right.
And now I actually do play guitar. And, I should really pull this one back out and rework it a little bit. So writing it, it's basically, I tell people when I perform, I said, this is for all my guitar players. And this is for all my people, man or woman, that like to get with guitar players. As the joke is, everyone wants to be with a musician, good, bad, or the ugly, so it's a cute and fun homage to guitar players and what goes on when you're on stage and rocking and rolling.
I don't know what I'm really trying to say, that I wanna hear you play. Give me some of that guitar if you wanna win my heart. I think I love you, but I better be sure. Give me that guitar. Give me that guitar. Give me that guitar. I wanna dance to your song all night. guitar. Give me that guitar. Give me that guitar. I better wanna dance to your song all night long. I play me a little something now.
I understand you're a newlywed.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
What about Mr. Right? Have you found Mr. Right?
Yeah, no, he's good. My husband, he is one very understanding of the, not just musician, any unconventional profession, you know, is not always the easiest to get along with, you know. First of all, my husband, he met me on the gig, actually, so he knew exactly what he
right.
was getting
yeah.
into. He's a really sweet guy, really understanding, and easy to get along with, and lets me do what I want to do, you know, when I want to do it. He can't hold me down. He can't handle me, so to speak. Kind of like my song, "Don't Handle Me." So
right.
It's one of those they go. I guess in that case, the album songs they all go together.
It's important to have somebody in your corner supports you, right?
That, oh yeah, absolutely. So it's one of those. He's there if and when I need him. But he's not overbearing. He knows that, you know, my business and my career and stuff. That's me, and I'm the big boss lady with that, you know. But is, like you said, very, very supportive. And in my corner. And now that we have, you know, a little one together, he's very, very supportive and above and beyond what someone could ask for as a co-parent, too.
So you have a new baby?
Yes, she's a little over 8 months old now. Yeah.
And I've heard someone say that as an artist, when you have a child, it somehow changes. Maybe you become more focused. I mean, have you noticed any changes since you've become a mother?
I mean, other than, you know, the obvious cliche, your world's never the same. I mean, I've always been, and this is kind of mindset and way of life. I've been very, very blessed and fortunate that growing up, my mom has always been very encouraging and supportive of having what we call your inner joy. So whether that's music, art, sports, whatever, you know, that was always and has been very instilled to do what I want to do and work for it. So I've tried to be always very, very focused and driven already. I think having my daughter now, it has made me more appreciative of and more respectful of having my time off, you know? So I've learned to not worry so much all the time about work, work, work. It is nice to kind of take a few hours and quote unquote relax or, you know, do something else to keep that, the whole balance and household and yourself, you know? So I think that's, my daughter's teaching me to, like I said, appreciate some little things a little more than I probably took for granted.
Well, I think, you know, being, like you said, the boss lady of your career, you get so focused in this 24/7,
your
emails and interviews, it's good to stop and smell the roses. And
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly how it is. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned your mother. Was there any music in your family from your parents or?
Well, my mom's always been a big music fan. She does, and it's so funny because she's like, I'd be in trouble if I could sing or could play an instrument because I have no fear and I have, you know, have no inhibitions. But she's always had a good ear for music and has been a big fan, so she can kind of tell you what's sounding good or what's going to be a hit or whatever. But my dad is actually a musician. He played, and my mom, I think, was a bartender at a club that he was playing. That's kind of how they met. And so he was playing bass for a band out of the Chicago area. But he also plays guitar and piano, kind of a jack of all trades in that respect. So I was always around music from a very young age, you know, since I was a baby. And I think aside from genetics, I was just always around it, you know, so that definitely I can't say that, you know, there's no way I can say that it didn't have an effect on me. Sure. It had to. It's only natural osmosis, whatever you want to call it. But yeah.
Right. There was always music around appreciation of music.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And again, when I took my first piano lessons when I was 8 or 9. And my mom was always very encouraging of, you know, if you want to go practice. It's okay if it doesn't sound completely correct. I'm not going to, you know, where some parents, you know, oh, gosh, they got to go practice now. I'm going to have a headache. You know, it was never any of that. But then again, my mom's like, but you never sounded mad. So I don't know. You know, who knows? But yeah, music was always around me since a young age. And like I said, it's always been nurtured and encouraged. And even as a young adult or going into young adulthood, when I said, hey, mom, you know, I think I really want to pursue music rather than, say, a conventional career going to, you know, a university or college or something like that. She goes, OK, well, you just do you and do what you want.
That's excellent.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's hard to find that. So, yeah.
Yeah. My parents I went on the road when I was 19 years old.
Oh, man.
Chitlin' Circuit. And my mom helped me pack my bag.
Oh,
my dad
nice.
Drove me down
yeah.
to 63rd Street. And I mean, they were completely supportive. And,
it
you know, I don't know where I'd be without them. You know?
It should be that way. I think, unfortunately, I was saying earlier, I'm 25. So I think technically that means I'm a millennial or whatever. And unfortunately, in my generation, you know, we were taught in school and everything, you go to school to go to college and get a good job, but that's all fine and dandy in theory. But in practicality, it doesn't always work like that. And I have a lot of friends that I went to high school with and they were, you know, they got good grades in high school and they went to good colleges, you know, DePaul, Mizzou, you know, Roosevelt, all the stuff, which is all great. And then they graduate and they say, well, I don't know what I want to do.
Right.
You know, and they're kind of sitting there twiddling their thumbs. And I just remember, you know, at my senior senior banquet or whatever, when they said, okay, seniors, tell us all where you're going to go in high school. And, you know, little Joe Smith is going to whatever college and Susie Q is going to this. And I go and I said, I don't think I'm going to go to college at first. I'm going to go play music. Oh, gosh, you would have thought I said something, you know, crazy, like I was going to run outside in the street buck naked or something. And I remember I got a lot of flack for it, and my mom got some flack from other parents. And it's just funny because now when we've touched base,
sure,
a lot of people say, oh, you know, Ivy, you're the only one doing really what you said you were going to do and then some. I said, well, I knew what I wanted to do, you know. So I think, unfortunately, the goal instilled in a lot of our generation is a little different, and maybe not the most idealistic, where it should be. I think find out what you want to do and do it well, rather than just go
following someone else's path.
Exactly. Yeah. And you don't know where it's going, but you're going to go and do it anyway, you know. So.
Wow, we had a similar experience. I remember graduating high school, and
sure,
everybody's going to this university, and I said, I'm going down to the checkerboard lounge and learn how to play the blues.
What? Oh, gosh.
Many years later, people tell me, oh, you're so lucky. And I'm like, it's not lucky. This was a choice. And it wasn't easy.
You. Yes.
But it's a choice. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lifetime full of joy and happiness from making music versus... you know, punching a clock 9 to 5.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You know,
And don't get me wrong, I had a, well, and I joke too with, about that. I did have a few, because I moved out when I was about 18. Not because me and my mom are the best of friends and we could totally live together, but I'm just independent and like my own space. So I moved out when I was about 18 and I was playing music then. But obviously, in practicality, I was like, well, I need to get some kind of job just in case. So I've had day jobs. I've had, I mean, not a whole lot, but I've had a couple. And the irony is that when it came down to it, they were getting in the way of my music jobs, you know. And there were some times where if it wasn't for my handful of gigs throughout the night, I wouldn't have that cash on hand for gas or to pay this last minute bill or whatever, you know. So I tried to play the game a little bit in society, whatever the right way is. And I did it, but I tell people, I said, I've had day jobs, but they got in the way of my real job, which is playing music. So, yeah.
Can you tell me about the song Mama Don't?
Sure. Yeah. That was one, I remember distinctively. Mama Don't, I was walking my dog a handful of years ago, and, I just started kind of humming a little groove in my head, and I just started to put some kind of goofy words to it, and I just kept replaying it over and over again, singing it over again, and before I knew it, just kind of hooked. So I was just, mama don't wanna wait too long, bumping up, you know, and it just kind of stuck. And then I held on to that little hook, and it probably took me some time to figure out the rest,
right?
But that's how it started. I was walking the dog.
Mama don't want to wait too long, so she gonna leave her daddy home. Mama don't want to wait too long, so she gonna leave her daddy home. Just look at the clock, see those hands tick tock, and when the bells chime, you know that it's time to rock. Questioning yourself, cause if you let that chickadee go on her own, she's gonna find someone else. Because mama don't wait too long, so she gonna leave her daddy home. Mama don't wait too long, so she gonna leave her daddy home and go, 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 go. To the rhythm and blues. I don't say it's easy to get a woman hyped. So if you do, then lucky you, cause she'll rock her world tonight. Because mama don't wait too long. she gonna leave her daddy home. Mama don't wanna wait too long, so she gonna leave her daddy home and go. Check it out now.
Mentioned that you were at the IBCs in Memphis. Can you tell me about that experience, the International Blues Competition?
Gosh, what, you know, I think, I don't know. Well, no, I do know. I think that and Chicago Blues Festival are probably the two most magical places I've been. And I was so glad that we got to go to the IBC. It was something I really didn't have in my sights this year because the preliminary contests and competitions were held in mid-October this past year, which I got married October 7th. And I think the deadline was October 14th or 15th, you know. And when I was approached to do in October, I said, look, I said, I need to take some time off. I said, I just got married. I had a baby and I've been gigging the whole time. I said, my husband was already kind of bummed that I worked the night before I went. I got a gig down at Legends at Buddy's place. I said, I can't turn that gig down, you know? So,
right.
So I said, no, I really don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Well, they twisted my arm enough and we won the local competition. And so they sent us down to IBC, sent us down to Memphis. And I really, like I said, I don't even think I'd really ever heard of it, you know, shame on me because, you know, for not knowing stuff about my craft. But so we kind of went on a whim. I not a full whim, but it was one of those, okay, we'll go.
Sure.
And we did a couple fundraising gigs, obviously to offset costs, and it was great. And then when we got down there, like I said, talk about being a mecca in your element. You know, and then on top of that, even cooler was that it's international. So you are meeting people. One, it's cool to meet people from different places anyway.
Right.
But two, to have the common denominator of all liking the blues,
yeah,
and like hardcore blues fans, you know, people that know, you know, Sonny Boy Williamson and all, you know, like stuff like that. Just crazy. And then we ended up doing pretty well. We got into the top 40. Out of, I think, almost 300 bands. So I joke saying, you know, I joke on myself, for someone who really wasn't planning on going at all, we didn't do too bad.
Well, I've heard people, you know, it is a competition, but it's really more like a showcase because there's,
yes,
all of these people in the blues industry down there to see,
yeah,
you.
Yep, yeah. And there's a lot of resources and a lot of activities in between your show times, so to speak. A lot of activities and a lot of things to do while you're down there. So, for instance, one for me as a band leader and kind of like the representative for my band, I got to go to a few. There was one, it was a meet and greet kind of speed dating thing at one of the hotels down there in the banquet rooms. And you got to meet with either like music producers, festival organizers, just, you know, a handful of people in the business. And there was probably at least 50 representatives there. And so that was really neat. And then in addition to that, during the day before the competitions, which were all usually held in the evening started, a lot of the different venues had little clinics. So we had lunch at one of this, you know, one of the many barbecue places down there. And there was a guy that was doing kind of a clinic on slide guitar, one on the history of it, but then two kind of the ins and outs of how to play. And if you wanted to, you could have sat in and brought your guitar and played along with, right. You know, something that people, you know, you sign up at park districts for like $200
sure.
for six sessions. Yeah. And here, you know, here it was right there at your fingertips. So yeah, it's one, obviously the competition challenge, they call it the challenge. But it's so much more than that. The whole competition challenge facet is such a small piece of this bigger thing, you know.
Yeah. It's kind of like a big blues convention in Memphis.
Yes.
Once a year.
Yes, yeah. That's a great way to put it. Yeah. And if you, like I said, we had never been down there. I had never really been south anywhere, really. I'd never really been down south at all. So it was, for me, it was really eye-opening and really awesome to see a different side of blues.
Right. And Beale Street is so hip, right?
Yeah. So it was really culturally enriching mm-hmm. for me. And it was a really great experience. One more notch in my belt of, you know, of doing the craft. So.
So you worked early on in your career with J.B. Ritchie?
Yeah. So there was, I'm from Lake County, out in Waukegan specifically. And on the North Shore, there was a jam, an open jam that was held at this place called The Alley. Now it's known as 210 Club. It's a big music venue, mm-hmm. similar to like Space in Evanston. And JB hosted the open jam every Sunday. And when it was The Alley, it actually had a bowling alley and eatery. So it was all ages. And I was, I think, 19, maybe 20 at the time. So I had went, I think the first time I went, let's see. Actually, no, sidetrack. First time I ever went, I went down there because Toronto Cannon was actually guest hosting. Mm-hmm. And someone said, you should go check him out. And that was one of those situations where Toronto had heard about me. Now, I didn't play guitar. I just sang. But I came, he goes, hey, you must be that bad singer I heard about. And I was like, oh my gosh, Mr. Cannon. You know, totally, totally yeah. fangirling. But anyway, but the second time I went, it was JB's regular night. And it was a Super Bowl Sunday. So there was no one there. And, I ended up going, and I didn't bring my amp, and I remember going up to him and saying, hey, Mr. Ritchie, I said, do you mind if I plug my guitar in your amp? Like, totally, I was so green then, you know, I was, and he goes, sure, you know, I don't care, and I ended up, it was me and a couple other guys in the bandstand, we ended up playing almost the whole night, because there was no other jammers. Well, then I think a week or two after that, I got a call from JB, and he was asking if I could fill in on another gig he had somewhere else that he couldn't make. Yeah, so he said, I trust your talent and I think you'll show up. So can you do this gig? I said, sure. And after that, he just kind of, he'd come to some of my shows and then he would invite me to some of his, one of which was when he would play at like Legends and stuff. And he'd introduce me. That's where he introduced me to like Joe Moss. And I'm trying to think who else? A handful of big names
right.
in the scene. And so we just, you know, kind of remained really good friends and he was a really good mentor for me. And there was a time where he had a lot of time off and I was going through some change with my band. And I said, well, you know, I said, I have some really good gigs coming up. I could use a second guitar player if you don't mind sharing the stage with me. And he said, oh, sure. That'd be great. Thus, him and I, it was, my band was, me, him on guitar and then my, you know, bass and drums. And then, how I started playing bass for him was we were out at, I don't know, some place listening to music, you know, shooting the breeze. And I jokingly said, I said, I bet you I could play bass. I bet you I could. I had never touched a bass in my life, but I, you know, big
you're
time.
You're fearless, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I was like, I can do it. You know, I can just play bass for you. You should just get rid of your bass players. I can play. And then a week later, he goes, yeah, so I got rid of so-and-so, but I got some gigs coming up. So you ready to play? And I was like, oh, crap, you know. So him and I, like, did some mini rehearsals real quick just so I could learn his material. And turns out I really liked playing bass, and two, I was pretty good at it. I was playing with him for about 2 years, actually full time as bass player. And then he played guitar for me.
That's great.
Yeah. Oh, we had a lot of fun.
Well, can you talk about your regular band, the band that's on the record?
Sure. My bass player, who's on the record too, his name is Billy Roush. He's been playing with me since I was, I think, 18. And how we met, we were actually sidemen for, the band was called the No Problem Blues Band. And I got hired as a singer and keyboardist. I didn't know how to play blues keys. I was just like, whatever. I could play chords, so whatever. So we got hired together in that band. This is about the same time I was learning to play guitar a little bit. Like, again, I wasn't trying to be anybody. I was just trying to play guitar. That's all. But the main guitar player at the time, he got kind of his nose out of joint. And so he left the band. And the rest of the musicians said, hey, we'll come and play with you. If you want to, we'll be your band, Ivy, basically. Okay. So I said, sure. So that turned into Ivy Ford and the Cadillacs, which still to this day, people know me for that. But that's how I met Willie. And then I dropped down from my 5-piece band to a trio, which is what I play with now. And I went through a couple different drummers just out of convenience and circumstance. But as of late, my buddy Dave Axon, who used to be actually a classic rock singer, and then he was a country drummer, actually. Country rock drummer, I should say. He's been playing with me for probably the last year. And then intermittently, you know, for the last couple of years. So there's Willie Roush on bass, and then Dave Axon on drums, and then me on guitar.
You mentioned you started as a singer, mm-hmm. play some piano.
Yeah.
Taught yourself the bass.
Yeah.
Playing the guitar. Do you mm-hmm. play any other instruments?
I played saxophone in high school, and I still fiddle with it sometimes. Jazz stuff. Mm-hmm. And that was the reason why I wanted to play that was because there was no other girls playing saxophone. So I do play sax. I read music and stuff on that. And then I do play drums, actually, too. Yeah. Not as often as I'd like, but
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could you see maybe doing a record where you play everything?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I have done. I came out with last year I came out actually with a solo album. It's called Simply Solo. I didn't hype it up that much just because it was kind of like a first project of mine mm-hmm. and just to see if I could do it. And that was primarily piano. But I did on that record, I do play bass, and I think there's some guitar on there. But it's more of like an unplugged type of album, the kind of, how do you say, theme or mood mm-hmm. of it. But yeah, I have thought for sure about doing, yeah. So when you see on the credits, drums, Ivy Ford, piano, you know what I mean?
Right,
you're like,
yeah.
What? Yeah, I've thought about it for sure.
What's the musical style on the solo record? On
the solo record is very much more soul, kind of torch and soul. I'm a huge Norah Jones fan, actually, and it's definitely, I would say it's more in those, yeah, in that vein, very similar to, I think it's her Come Away With Me album,
right.
It has a lot of, I think, a lot of remnants of that kind of theme going on, okay. Yeah.
And you perform solo piano as well?
Yeah, I do. Not very often. And actually, when I do play piano, usually it's instrumental stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, wine bars and loungy kind of music where they don't really want much singing.
Just background.
Yeah, yeah. But it's nice for me. It keeps my chops up, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So I see that they've sort of termed you or coined you as a young blood in the blues.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
what
know,
do you think about that?
Oh, I love it. And that's actually, I think that caught, I don't want to say that I started it because it's going to make it sound, but I did actually. I don't even know where I started saying it at first, but my good friend, Jimmy Nick, another blues cat, and I'm 25. I think he's 2 or 3 years older than me. But when we've played a couple shows together, and we used to always joke like, yeah, we're the young bloods in this business, young, you know what I mean? So when we used to talk about it to each other, and then when I've, done other interviews or people talk to me about it, I just use that term 'cause I think it's very, very, very fitting, you know? And then just kind of has kind of caught on.
So people would ask, with all the different music that's popular these days, why the blues?
Blues, really, and any, I don't even want to say just blues music, but roots music, I like to say, is really the foundation of all music, I think.
Agreed.
You know, you can break down any song today or whenever and find out if, you know, dig deep enough. Oh, it's really this song from, you know. So that's, you know, that's one thing. It's a natural fandom. But also, I'm trying to think. Someone had asked me, this was a while ago, when I think I was first starting to get some mileage playing and singing the blues and stuff. It's really, blues, it's a social commentary, you know? And it's a much more, I think, real social commentary.
It's more organic.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's more organic. And not that I'm in music writing and writing lyrics, not that I'm not a fan of a play on words. Like, I love a good play on words. I think it's real. Oh, it floats my boat big time. And amuses me. However, at the same time, I think there's something to be said to say what you mean and mean what you say. So when, you know, I think more often than not in blues music, if you look at the lyrics, they're straight, you know, straight to the point.
Thank you.
when people say, well, why do you start singing the blues or something like that? And I said, well, it's funny because I didn't start off singing blues when I was with, I was telling you when I was like 12 or 13 and I got to sit in with some bands as a singer. I was doing top 40 stuff or soul or like disco. I think the bluesiest song I sang was maybe Chain of Fools and maybe Sweet Home Chicago. And even then, I don't think I like sang that. But so I said, it's funny because I didn't start singing, you know, didn't start off singing blues. However, my mom will remind me, well, you know, Ivy, when you were little, I would play like B.B. King and I would sing, you know, kind of blues riffs as playing with you as a kid. And I'm like, you know, it's funny because now that you say that, I do remember you singing this little ditty. And I didn't know then that was, you know, bum, bum, da, da, I got me a bit, you know, I didn't know that then. Now I do. And then when I started to really kind of dive into the blues genre and when people say, what do you sing? And I said, well, I'm a blues musician. I'm a blues player. It just fit. You know, I don't do it. I think there's some, and I'm not hating, but it just is what it is. I think there's some musicians or entertainers, they might do it as a little gimmick, you know. But ain't nothing wrong with that, but it can be a little gimmicky. But for me, it just came very natural and effortlessly, and I enjoy it, you know. There's just something, again.
Just a natural attraction.
Just a natural attraction. There's an organic sense of self when I'm playing it. You know, it just feels right,
right.
You know?
Right.
So, yeah.
Tell me how long you've been playing the guitar.
About 5 years. I started when I was 19. Yeah, 19 or 20.
Yeah.
I picked it up and I don't even know. People say, how did you learn? And I said, I don't know. I just picked it up. I did learn a few, like, G major chord, A minor, E minor, like, acoustic chords that, you know. I did learn those, like, thank God for the internet. And then after that, someone, or maybe I saw at an open jam, someone playing, like, bar chords.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, what is that? Like, your hand looks the same, but you're moving it up and down the neck. So, So from there, they kind of, someone gave me like a little quick 101 on bar chords. And then it was one of those, I'd bring it to open jams and just try not to make too big of a fool of myself. And try to, I think, emulate what I heard other guitars playing and just picking it up, you know. I think, like I said, I think it was about, going on 6 years.
And that's kind of the blues tradition to kind of learn. You mentioned working with JB.
Yeah.
And seeing other people. And,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure he's shown you a few things. And,
That was one thing. It was always like, at least, I don't know if that's with everyone, but at least with me, JB was always really gung-ho and patient. If it was like, hey, come and show me that thing. You know, what were you playing there? And he was always more than happy to show it to me. But then on the flip side too, there was stuff that I did and he's like, hey, that's pretty cool. So, you know, one, us being really good friends, I think really helped nurture the whole mentor mentee type of relationship too, because, and then working together. So it was real, we had like the best of all worlds. Cause we really respected each other as basically coworkers on the job. And then two, as separate musicians with our own styles and our own things, and then too, just as human beings, you know,
mutual respect,
exactly. Yeah. And that I think that was a big and has been a big positive factor. So anyone out there that wants to learn stuff or wants people to like them and get along, don't be a jerk, man. Just, just be respectful.
Yeah, that's good advice all the way around.
Yeah,
right?
Like yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
I hope sooner than 10 years, but, I would like to be only playing festivals and big festivals. And I would like to, be the headliners on those. I'm knocking wood. I don't want to jinx nothing now. I'm getting close to exclusively playing only special events or festivals now, which, I'm very grateful for the opportunities that seem to come my way. And I try to really strive to only accept and do business with that kind of stuff. And hopefully, you know, so far it's been good. So, and I definitely would like to get a lot more albums and my material out, you know, and hopefully getting some some recognition for me as a recording artist and writer, you know. So those are the two big things, playing, headlining festivals and getting notoriety for my original material.
So you think the state of the blues is good?
I think so. I think the only reason sometimes why it can't be better, and some of my peers are gonna get mad at me, is because they don't give themselves enough worth, you know. Mm-hmm. You can probably appreciate this too, talking shop with others. You know, we'll talk about some musicians. You know, we jokingly say they'll play for pizza and beer, and then you go in a club and they say, we want to hire you, and you say, oh, this is my rate, and they go, well, so and so plays for pizza and beer. Say, well, gosh darn it, he's ruined the economy, right, for all of us, you know. So I like the state that blues is in. I like the state my blues is in, at least. But getting back to, I hold myself to a real high standard, and I demand of myself and whoever's playing on the stage with me, that we hold our, you know, all of ourselves to a high standard. And I tell people this all the time, whether they're musicians or whatever they're doing, if you don't think you're important, no one else is going to think you're important. So it starts with you, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what do you say we make some music?
That sounds about right. That's what we came here to do. No, no, sounds good.
All right.
All right, here we go. One, two, three.
To have fun with the guys.